Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of the EFL Fantasy Podcast. My name is Angus.
My name is Dan.
And we're going to talk about the game week 22 action. Obviously a big game week for a lot of people. A lot of boosts around this week. Some people doing very well. Some people I've seen doing slightly less well. A lot of interesting action, a lot of goals actually across the game week. And so a lot for us to discuss. Dan, first things first, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Angus. Very weird weekend of football for me personally. Obviously, firstly, with the Tom Lockyer heart attack. So that wasn't great. I had to take myself away from football, especially Sunday, really. But gaffer-wise, both gaffer games, really fun as I played boosts on both games. And I really enjoyed the Leicester-Birmingham game yesterday. So, yeah, it's been a funny weekend, but an enjoyable one fantasy-wise anyway.
Yeah, definitely. I went to the Arsenal game on Sunday, so I missed the thriller that was West Brom Stoke. I watched the Ipswich Norwich game on Saturday and the Birmingham Leicester game yesterday, which were both really entertaining. I'm sure it'll give us a lot to talk about. Normal sort of. For us, we're going to talk about how we did. Some people know how I did, but I'll happily talk about it. we're going to sort of go over the team news, obviously cover some our sort of key takeaways, which just say in this context, we're just going to talk about some of the games. And then we will cover any sort of other takeaways and answer your questions. I'm just going to sort of jump in and talk about my game week because everyone who sort of follows me on Twitter knows I had a very good game week. So on Budget Buster, I got 211 points, which was good for a game week rank of first. So obviously very happy with that. Big rank rise, which is partially when you can have bigger rank rises when you drop down low. I went from 878th to 205th, so obviously that's a very big rise for me. This was all despite Steve Cook, who came on in the 83rd minute and managed to get a zero pointer because of goals conceded, not even getting booked.
He was brought on to shore it up, probably.
Yeah. So that went great. I had started Cooper. I knew Schumacher had said he was out, but I started him sort of just in case he was lying or for some reason or whatever. But it actually meant I got O'Leary off the bench, who'd got a 9-pointer, so that was 22. Cannon was replaced at half time after being booked, so that was 5. Cook 0. Famewo 15. Somerville, one of my two non-budget players, got 10. The other one, Dewsbury Hall, got 15. Crooks, who was my one transfer of the week, 25. Burns, 15. Should have been more. Finazaz, 45. Morgan Whittaker, 32. And Nathan Broadhead, 27. Also should have been more. I benched Davis, Rutter and Walker Peters. Obviously, if I'd played sort of like Walker Peters over, say, Steve Cook, it would have gone better. But, you're always going to play the budget player on Budget Buster. That was obviously a massive game week for me. Couldn't have asked for much more, although I've said a couple of them obviously could have done better. But I think it also, I will say now, when we've sort of been saying, when people have asked, is Budget Buster really worth the hassle or, that sort of thing, I think it just shows, that sort of thing, 200 points, And that's not even a full team of budget players. It shows sort of the difference it can make. So, yeah, obviously I'm very happy about it. The fact that I've managed to play Budget Buster and still keep the likes of Davis, Walker Peters, Somerville, Dewsbury Hall, Rutter, means that I'm feeling quite happy about things going forward. I might be going straight in to follow the leader this weekend. That was originally the plan. It still likely remains the plan, but I've just got to think about that as we get close to the weekend. It'll probably depend on a couple of bits of team news as well. Feeling sort of very happy at the moment. How did your game week go, Dan?
Obviously not as good as your game week, but I can't really moan. I played the Budget Buster like yourself. I got 164 minus four. My transfers this week were terrible. I brought in Cannon and Bellingham, who, considering you're playing Budget Buster, they got a total of 5 points. So they did get over the minus four. I had Dieng in goal for 10, Cannon for 5. I started Matty Pearson, but he was injured. So that was another Budget Buster who didn't play. So Davis came off the bench for 1. Kessler Hayden, who didn't start either, for 2. Somerville, 10. Dewsbury Hall, 15. Azaz, 45. Broadhead, 27. Chaplin, 17. And Whitaker, 32. So considering I basically only had like 5 Budget Buster players to get quite a big green arrow from just inside top 400 to 115th, I'm very happy. And like yourself, the plan is to go on follow the leader. I'm pretty sure I'm going to be doing it. I've got 3 Ipswich, I've got 3 Plymouth, I can add a couple of Leicester. And then I don't really have to worry about boosts during the hectic periods. I will probably play a Jeepers Keepers or Midfield Dynamos towards the end. You never know, maybe get a sneaky double game week if anything gets postponed. Quite happy. Considering I had 7 red arrows in a row, it was nice to finally get a green arrow.
Yeah, it was seeing sort of when I went to look on the rank changes, all the red arrows as my rank sort of dropped and dropped and dropped, and then just seeing the rise, it was like almost just one green arrow. Does it feel like it quite sort of reflects it? But yeah, it just shows the difference it can make for both of us, even with the difference, yeah. Like the different scores there, just that big rise it can still have. And so I think, like I say, for anyone who hasn't played it yet and is questioning the value of it, it just sort of shows what it can do. Just a note, actually, briefly, we are recording on Tuesday night. Middlesbrough are currently, headed to victory in the League Cup quarterfinals. Just to confirm for anyone who's wondering, that would not lead to any sort of blanks or doubles for the semi-finals. It would lead to a blank if they got to the final, but let's cross that bridge if and when it happens. So the next thing up for us is team news. So Dan, I'll let you take it away with that.
Yeah, so for Ipswich, Clark, Wilford and Broadhead and Burns were back in for the Norwich game. For Norwich, Stacey and McCullum played at fullbacks. Sunderland, as I mentioned, Bellingham was benched. They've also got a new manager in Mick Beale. For Hull, 2 fans started. Cardiff, Ornwick's back in goal, so they keep changing the goalies for some reason. I bet it's to do with Arsenal wanting Renarsson to get some game time, but I'm not convinced he's that good, to be honest. Leeds, big news, Spence was in the lineup, started at left back. Coventry, O'Hare, Allen, Wright were benched. They went for a more defensive lineup, so De Silva and Latabodio were in. For Millwall, Nisbet, Bradshaw played up front with Fleming in the 10. Huddersfield, as I mentioned, it's probably only relevant to me anyway, but Matty Pearson didn't start.
I did see one other person, I think, who brought in Matty Pearson, so
Yeah,
you weren't the
he'll be
only
going out pretty quickly, I think.
one.
Plymouth, Kessler, Hayden was benched, which was annoying. Watford, Tom Dely Bashiru decided to play right back over Andrews after numerous weeks we've suggested him. Southampton, the fullbacks was interesting here. Bree played right back and Walker Peters played left back. And we were discussing off air, Angus, that we think that's probably better suited to both. Well, to get the best maybe out of both, because Kyle Walker Peters is probably better inverting into centre mid, and Bree's obviously good at crossing. We've seen that as time at Luton. Adosie was in for Adams. QPR, Cook, Dykes, and Willock were benched. West Brom Wallace started, and Lester Dakar was the striker. Iheanacho was an unused sub. That's it, Angus. Anything to add?
I don't think so. I think there was a little bit more rotation than we expected in some of those spots. I think the QPR one in particular, five changes was quite a lot, and I think it might have reflected a little bit in their performance. So obviously you have to rotate, but I think, particularly, I don't think he's played the same centre back pairing in the last like three games. It's changed in each of them, so maybe that's a slight issue there, but otherwise, yeah, it's the sort of thing that can happen at that stage. Well, fortunately and unfortunately, depending on how you look at it. So we're going to talk about some of the games, particularly that had the biggest impact this weekend. Obviously, with primary focus on those that really impacted Budget Buster. And the first one of those that we've mentioned a few times is the Ipswich Norwich game, the Saturday lunchtime kickoff. What were your sort of thoughts on this game, Dan? Or I'll go briefly through actually just to clarify the goal scorers and the returners in this, and then we could talk about it. So Nathan Broadhead opened the scoring from a George Hurst knockdown. Jonathan Rowe on about the third attempt, I think, scored the equaliser. He then scored again via deflection, and then Wes Burns equalised from a Connor Chaplin assist, which I think, most people on Budget Buster were the players they had were, Burns, Chaplin, Broadhead, and Rowe, some combination of those. So,
Hurst, I've seen Hurst flying about. He
yeah, of
got
course,
assist.
yeah. So they all returned. But yeah, so that's sort of what happened there, and then obviously sort of played out later on. What were your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of intrigue in this game. Obviously, they hadn't played each other for, I think it was 4 seasons, and Norwich have a really good unbeaten record. I think it's, is it 14? It's either 14 years or 14 games. I'm not sure about that. So obviously with Ipswich doing as well as they are, and then being at home, they were massive favourites to win. And I think overall they probably should have won. They definitely had the better chances, especially in the first half. They could have been 2 or 3 nil up. But I thought Burns was very good down the right. I think you could tell McCallum hadn't played a lot of games. He was really struggling. I really enjoyed this game because I know it's cliche, but it did feel like a proper derby. And I'm not sure let's be honest, there's a bit too much leeway, but
Yeah.
I was all for it, especially on Ashley Barnes when
The
was he cat
actually Barnes
goalie.
challenge on Hladky, because the thing is, he doesn't launch into the challenge until the ball is actually like just crossing the
Yeah, he
line.
knew what
So
he did.
that's the one that was the one where I was like, okay, come on now. Like, but otherwise, yeah, I totally agree that that sort of real derby like spirit and like the players playing it like a derby as well. I mean, I thought I think the one player, I mean, we talk about Ashley Barnes there, the one player that I was certain was going to get carded at some point in this game was Borja Sainz. He looked like he wanted to fight someone the whole game. I'm not sure how he managed to get out of the game without booking. Obviously, for me, there was the slightly irritating one where Wes Burns got booked like immediately before he came off. But to be fair, I said to you, and I think I said elsewhere, he'd done quite well to get to that point without being booked as well. So it wasn't sort of like, oh God, I feel hard done by there or anything. But yeah, really enjoyable. As I say, I think Burns should have had more. Even before it, just in the first half, there were a couple where it could easily have been a return. I'm glad he got something. I thought he looked bright. I think Chaplin was obviously really involved, and I thought he played really well. There was one on the counter, I think, in the first half, where he like flicked it round a player. And then just kept like sort of carried it forward for about 30 yards, and then it ended up with the chance. But I thought he played really well. Hurst, I'm impressed with him. I know we questioned it coming into the season in terms of, because we
Well,
hadn't
I
seen
questioned the
much
whole
quality
team.
from him in the championship. But you know, him and Broadhead have answered the questions about them in the championship. So I think all credit to them. Few questions defensively. I think they could have done better on both the Norwich goals. And I think that's something that has been a little bit of a theme with Ipswich. It's not like they're bad defensively, but there's always that element of like almost you have a chance. But yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. And someone who we hadn't talked about for a little while, Jonathan Rowe. really sort of hauling in this game. What are your thoughts on the players from these two teams off the back of this game as well?
I mean, I think a lot of people have double, triple Ipswich. I know a lot of people have Davis, who's not eligible for Budget Buster, but a couple of weeks out, I made the decision to just get the two strikers back in. I think I was overcomplicating it, overthinking it. And to be honest, the players who I would have brought in or debated it, Conway and Delap. God, I thought his name was Palmer. I kept thinking of Liam Palmer. I don't know why that was. Yeah, they both returned as well. So yeah, I think going forward, if you're gonna have a budget buster, you've got to have two Ipswich at least, I think, Angus, don't you think?
Yeah, and I think because you've got all four of those starting attackers as well that are eligible, Burns obviously a midfielder, and then Broadhead, Chaplin, and Hurst. And I think there's arguments for all of them. It might literally depend on how you shape up. But yeah, I think that they're all good options, and they're the sort of ones that are good options for people like you. They're ideal for people who've just played Budget Buster because you're not even really desperate to sell them. Like, on the double Ipswich forward, you might look to move one on, obviously, if you're without a sort of, well, obviously being without like sort of a Rutter or an Armstrong, that sort of thing. But otherwise, in terms of like, you're not necessarily desperate to sell them. Burns will probably go for me at some point just because that those midfield spots are valuable. But yeah, I think they're all still good options. Like you say, there's Davis. I think for people who are on someone like a Hladky or even someone like a Wolfenden, I don't think that's a disaster either. Obviously, I think Wolfenden got a zero in this one because he got booked, which is obviously a disaster on Budget Buster, but like it's not a problem to hold them going forward either.
We've seen recently Twanzabe getting more game time, and let's be honest, a fit Twanzabe is their best centre back. But fitness is obviously going to be the issue, I think. So I do wonder if there will be rotation a bit more at the centre back position.
Yeah, and it's pretty much it's mostly Wolfenden that he comes in for, so I think that's the other thing to bear in mind, particularly for those on Wolfenden. It's not necessarily an urgent sell, but you do have to factor in that there will be a bit of rotation there. On Norwich, I saw a couple go with Saints, and I do get it. He looks decent. It was tough in this game, the amount that sort of like Ipswich were on the front foot. Rowe hadn't returned, I think, for about 7 game weeks before that. Obviously, you know, had said something on social media about how much he was looking forward to the derby, which you think is always sort of setting yourself up for big success or big failure. Thankfully for him, it was obviously the 2 goals. But in terms of Norwich at the moment, still no one outside of Rowe and Sara.
Yeah, I haven't had Sara for a long time, and you know, I haven't had Rowe that for long either. I think it's a no-brainer if you're going to play Budget Buster to get Rowe in, I think. Would you agree, Angus?
Yeah, I think
I think
so.
so.
If people didn't have him this week, like obviously it's one of those things, particularly people who had him earlier in the season, you're going to look at it and be like, oh, you know, disaster. But like I say, he hadn't returned. I don't think he, I think credit to Jamie, I saw him come out with this. I don't think he'd returned or got bonus in the last 7 game weeks. So it really would be more of sort of a hindsight pick.
He also did, he got subbed as well quite early,
Yeah.
which is a bit of a worry.
I think it's just with them, particularly like, was he the one who got replaced by Onel Hernandez?
Yeah.
Which I think gave them a little bit of, you know, extra running, the way that Onel Hernandez can carry the ball, gives that gives them a, gave them a real sort of help. And so I think that that's part of it, you know, in terms of that specific game state. But yeah, I think it's one of those really where you'll have to deal with that at times. But I do think he's a good option. And Sara, like I've come off, you know, that you have to put up with the disappointment at times with him. There will be sort of quiet games for him, but. Yeah, I think he's still sort of a perfectly valid pick. I wouldn't sort of be telling people, oh no, you can't pick him. And I thought like he might be quiet in a game like this where they would need him to, you know, sort of in the actual midfield areas a bit more. But yeah, so I think that's most of it on Ipswich and Norwich. So we'll go on to one that did affect some people, and was an unexpected one, which was Bristol City 1, Sunderland 0. The only goal of the game being a Tommy Conway penalty. I forget now who won the penalty. I want to say it was Sykes, but Gardner Hickman, sorry. Gardner Hickman won the penalty. So yeah, have you seen the highlights of this one, Dan? Or
Seen the 2 minute highlight.
yeah.
Most of it, like Max O'Leary made two or three brilliant saves in this, so yeah, he definitely deserved his 9-pointer in this game. I'm still not sure if the new manager is has helped Bristol City. Like he still doesn't seem to know his best side. They keep changing formation. I wonder if it's one of those where he's going to have this season, and then next season he'll know what he's doing, and they probably will progress maybe up the table. But they're having things like Jason Knight's playing more further forward. because he was a player I did debate 2 or 3 weeks ago about playing. They've tried things like Sykes and Bell at wing backs over the last few games. I'm not really considered too many of Bristol City. I do think O'Leary is a decent punt as a goalie. I debated bringing him in when I brought in Johansson a few weeks ago, just before the budget the boosts were going to reset. Anything on Bristol City, Angus? Anyone on your radar?
So I've got O'Leary obviously, and like you say, I watched the highlights, and there were a few there where it was just like, oh my God, he's got it again. And having him and Cooper, obviously Cooper's missed the last couple, but having O'Leary there has gone sort of quite nicely for me, particularly this week, but just in general, I think he's a really solid option. I think, if you're looking at a little bit of them defensively, it makes sense. I do still like Sykes. I think he's a player who tends to be involved quite a lot for them, so totally understand, particularly if there are people who haven't played Budget Buster, that he could be an option for them. And Conway obviously seems to be sort of the main man up front at the moment, and on penalties as well. So but yeah, I think it's still mainly O'Leary you're looking at from them. The Sunderland side of things, obviously a new manager, Mick Beale.
What do you
I'm
think about that,
uh,
Angus?
hmm?
What's your opinion on Mick Beale? Because
Yeah, so I have, I mean, I know that QPR fans in particular are going to be sort of very negative about him, particularly the way he left, and I totally understand it. Makes total sense. I think he's potentially a good coach for this team. I think the way he's, I mean, we can say he's been responsible for the tactics when Gerrard was in charge at both Rangers and Villa. We're not sort of saying anything that hasn't been said. I mean, the number of the players that literally talked about Beale being the one sort of doing the coaching and everything. And then at QPR, I think the way they played could be good for this Sunderland team, and I do think it shapes up well for some of these players. I think it'd be interesting to see, the likes of Bellingham. I think it could be quite good for Pritchard as well. Clark will succeed anyway, but I do think it could be good for him. We've seen some of these types of players succeed in the previous spots. It would be key to see, particularly from it going poorly at Rangers, whether he's learnt some of the lessons from that. Part of that was transfers related, which obviously with him being head coach, he's not going to be involved in. So I think that's already a potential help there. But, obviously I know there were sort of grander ambitions for who was going to be there. I mean, some of the stuff like the Will Still stuff, I'm not sure that was ever really a goer. It's not the most sort of glamorous hire, but all in all, I think it probably is a decent hire in terms of the football for them.
do you think, like, whenever I watched Sunderland, I never thought, oh, the football's terrible.
No.
I actually thought they Mowbray got on playing some good stuff. And my guess is there behind the scenes was probably Mowbray probably wanted more of a say in transfers, and they sort of seemed to appease him by getting in Bradley Dack. Well, that's what it felt like anyway. Oh, you can have Bradley Dack, but we're picking everyone else. And yeah, I was surprised that Beale got it, but like you said, when I then started thinking about how well Willock and Chair were doing at QPR, and then you throw in Kenneth Powell was doing very well as well. So, like you said, some of those players, if they can play similar football to what they were at QPR, then yeah, I think you could get a tune out of them, and well, they're not that far off the playoffs, are they? It's Mowbray didn't like leave them languishing in like 17th or something like
Yeah,
that.
I
They
think
were
they're seventh.
basically, yeah. So it might be one of those where that he gets them in the playoffs, and it makes it look like Beale's done a good job, and in the end, it's Mowbray might have got him there anyway. But yeah, I think it's an okay appointment. Moving on to assets, I had Bellingham. It went a bit of a nightmare. I've still got Jack Clarke, which I'm quite happy to have, although he might make way this week. I'm not sure yet. Is there anyone else? You've obviously got Huggins in defence that will be good for Budget Buster.
Yeah, although I think Serkin and Elise are both close. So that might complicate things. I do think for based on what we've seen, in the previous stops, the fullbacks potentially good for attacking. So it could be particularly someone like Trey Hume, I think could really come back on radar. I've obviously just recently sold him for Budget Buster.
Yes, so have I.
But I do think he is the sort of player that could very much come back onto the radar. I wouldn't necessarily go there yet. I'd sort of see it play out a bit first, but I think he's one that could be an asset in addition to some of these others. Like your Bellingham's obviously Clark. And I do think Pritchard as well, it has been doing well recently. Yeah, I think those are the main ones, really.
Yeah, I agree.
So next game we've got, which obviously was had a big impact, was Plymouth 3, Rotherham 2. So obviously, big sort of big one for those on Budget Buster as well. So just to run through the returns, Jamie Lindsay actually gave Rotherham the lead. Sam Nombe with the assist. Just to fill in as well, Plymouth then lost Ryan Hardy to injury, to a head injury, I think. And then Mustapha Bundu came on. And then about 5 minutes later, Mustapha Bundu had to go off injured. Nasty challenge from a Doffin, actually. Not necessarily saying that in terms of the intent, but in terms of the challenge itself, it really wasn't clever. And Bundu, I think, had to be stretchered off, and Ben Wayne came on.
4.5
Finnezas,
million, Benway. 4.5 million, isn't he, Ben?
Finnezas equalised. I think it was about the 50th minute. Obviously, there was a lot of added time, but he nipped in. I think that was the penalty, wasn't
Yeah, it was, yeah.
And then, early in the second half, Azaz scored again, Morgan Whittaker assist. Daniel Ayala. I have to talk about the Daniel Ayala red card because it was one of my favourite highlights from the weekend. What he was doing with that handball, I can't tell you.
That's not even the funniest thing. He's just back from getting a suspension anyway.
Think he's started like
Another
three games for them
stupid
and been
thing.
sent off twice.
I think this is just showing that maybe he's lost his legs
Yeah, I mean, I think
or something
he
like
sort of came
that.
in because they needed sort of reinforcements in that area. And he's done, he's all right, but like, particularly in that space, he just stood no chance. And then Tom Eaves actually equalised for Rotherham. Sean Morrison, I think, headed it across and he just hammered it home. And then 96th minute, Morgan Whittaker, really nice little pass over the top from Azaz.
Yeah.
Whittaker finished it off for the win. Obviously, for those of us on Budget Buster, the number of times on those returns I said Azaz and Whittaker, it was obviously very handy. But yeah, I think it was, Plymouth getting the job done. They're not sort of in trouble, but I think they were at the point where they just wanted to get a couple more results. They were, they're still in a, they're not sort of clear of that bottom three, and so picking up results, particularly in games like Plymouth, sorry, Rotherham at home, you have to be doing that. But and obviously today Schumacher has moved to Stoke. But in terms of this game, we'll start with this game. What were your thoughts on this for? Well, for these two teams, I guess, but particularly Plymouth.
I don't know whether it's because I not really considered him all season, but I watched the highlights and Szasz stood out. I know he's been doing very well fantasy wise, but yeah, it wasn't. It's nice when you pick a. I'm not even sure if it was a punt, considering they had probably the best fixture and he has been doing well, but. It definitely felt like a no-brainer on Budget Buster, and that's probably the best bit about this boost is it makes you pick players you would probably never ever have, and yeah, we still go on about was it Bradshaw's hat trick in the double game week? Well, we're going to be talking about Finn Szasz for a very long time in Gaffer for this Budget Buster week, so. Yeah, but we know Plymouth are very good at home and they have been struggling away. I am intrigued to see what happens regarding the manager, whether I have faith with Plymouth that they'll probably pick a good manager. The club's well run, good solid transfers. They remind me a lot the teams that have progressed up the leagues, Brentford, Brighton, Luton, very good with recruitment. So, yeah, I think a lot of managers are going to be really interested in the Plymouth job. And I have a feeling they're not going to pick someone like a Mowbray or a manager who's been around the block. It's probably going to be like some assistant manager or a manager from down the leagues.
It's funny you say that. Have you seen who the strong early favourite is for the job?
Yeah, I can't believe that.
Leighton Baines.
Yeah.
I did say, what is it about? Do they have to have a former Everton player as manager or something?
What is it? Isn't it Scouser, isn't it? Is it? Because obviously they had Schumacher and then they had Lowe, didn't they? From
But
so
yeah, and
yeah.
then this would be the second former Everton player in a row, and I think they had Peter Reid previously and everything. So,
Yeah.
but
I don't
yeah.
know that much about Leighton Baines. Obviously we know his footballing ability, but
I
I
had to
don't know
look
too
up,
much
he's
about
the professional development coach and under 18s head coach at Everton.
it. So basically he's under 18 coach and they've just given him a fancy name.
So yeah, I'm not going to pretend to know even how the Everton under 18s are doing, or anything like that. But if that's the case, again, like you say with Plymouth, that it's something that they will have researched, they will know about. Like, we can make our jokes about sort of, where he's from and everything, but
Yeah.
it will clearly be something that they've looked into. I imagine with a club like them, particularly with the way Schumacher has been linked with jobs recently, they will have sort of had in mind who their preferred candidates would be, like in the event he left. So I'm not sort of worried about them. Does it affect your thoughts at all in terms of Plymouth players in Gaffer?
Well, I hope not because I'm playing follow the leader with them next week, so hopefully won't have too much of an issue. I'm on three. I'll probably end up dropping down to maybe one, whether that'll be Szasz or Morgan Whittaker. I do have Kessler Hayden, but if he's not gonna be playing, then he'll be gone quick, pretty quick. But they're so good value, aren't they, Angus? If they continue scoring the amount of goals they do as well, especially at home, I think they're going to tick along nicely. And they're one of the teams where, especially for Budget Buster, you probably will have try and get them at home against a team you think they'll score two or three against.
I mean, it's worth saying with Azaz, he's now snuck into the top 10 for midfielders. And I think it says a lot in terms of how he sort of progressed. And I think he's picked up points. It feels like in bunches, but he's clearly done well. And I do think, I mean, he's 5.8 now. I would assume he might well be 5.9, probably by the time you listen to this. He might not, but he might well be. That's still, he's sort of one that, like, people who've played Budget Buster, you don't necessarily have to get off him right away. Whether you're like, I mean, you're playing Follow the Leader, I might well be playing Follow the Leader, but even if you're not, you don't actually have to move off him quite well. I said that. There's only nine midfielders that have scored more points than him.
Now they do rotate a bit, but he normally plays, he's normally first choice, isn't he, in that midfield area?
I think you look at it, particularly the next two, obviously they've got Birmingham home, Cardiff away. That's not bad. It's not great, but particularly another home game, you're not selling a Plymouth player
But
before a home game like that anyway.
we saw Birmingham. I'm not saying Birmingham can't go to Plymouth and win, but from what I saw, that game's going to be open. So that could be anything, I think.
And I think that's the key. You maybe sort of keep Cardiff away. Then they have a couple of tougher games, but then they have a couple of nice games again. So it's one where, particularly at his value, you can potentially bench through, like, when they play sort of like Southampton and Watford. They then play Huddersfield and Cardiff again. So it's that sort of thing where he can sort of drop in and out. Same with Whittaker, to be honest. I think those two, you can hold them through. They're going to be involved. Odds are, like, you'll very rarely see a Plymouth goal that doesn't involve one of those two as well.
That's
So
true,
I think that sort of helps their case. I've got Cooper. He's missed the last two with a dead leg. He might come back in. So that's something to monitor, both for those with Cooper and those with Hazard, in terms of just the latest, later in the week on Michael Cooper. Apart from that, I don't think you're looking at sort of holding through too many. Like, the keepers are fine, even if Hazard it goes back to the bench. Like, you're not necessarily desperate to sell him at this point, as long as you've got another playing keeper. So I think that's not necessarily a problem. But Azaz and Whittaker, I don't think there's even a particular rush to sell.
don't think so.
And we can sort of wait and see what happens with the new manager, but I don't think it's going to be sort of a problem, particularly for those two. Rotherham, I don't have a lot to say. They did, they, you know, they gave a decent account themselves, particularly leveling it with 10 men.
Yeah, I think it's becoming pretty obvious they have to play Sam Nombe. Whether you play him with Hugo or Eves or you play him up front, it's pretty obvious Sam Nombe's got to play, I think.
Definitely. He's going to be significant to anything they manage to do this season. I think that is quite apparent. If they are going to get out of it, he's going to play a key role.
It's going to be hard, though, I think, Angus.
They're the one I feel least sort of confident in sort of pulling it back. And the last game we're going to talk about is Birmingham 2, Leicester 3, the Monday night game. As we've said, another really enjoyable game. Just bear with me one moment. So in terms of the returns, we started off with a Mavadidi goal on the counter, Fata Wu with the assist, Jordan James then equalised quite soon afterwards, Sunyic with the assist. Dewsbury Hall then scored with another assist for Fatawu, both of their goals on the counter, including the first goal after James Justin nearly put an absolute screamer into his own net.
Takes skill to hit the post or bar from there.
Then 5 minutes after half time, Mavadidi scored from Dewsbury Hall assist, and then with about 15 minutes to go, Jordan James scored again with a Miyoshi assist, but it finished 3-2 to Leicester. I certainly enjoyed this game. What were your thoughts on it, Dan?
Yeah, I think Leicester were good for the win. I know Birmingham played probably a lot better than I thought they would. And you can definitely see that Rooney is definitely trying to be more attacking. I'm not sure it's the best way to go in a lot of these games, but they looked pretty good going forward, I thought. Dembele was causing problems at times. Jordan James with both goals. I've mentioned a couple of times that I really rated him. It just seemed to think couldn't get in the team under Eustace, but Rooney seems to like him. Is he 4-5, 4-6?
Just bear with me one moment. Keep talking and I'll look up his price.
Yeah, no, sorry, I should have done that really. But he seems to be a bit playing a bit more further forward, especially if they play with Sunic and Bilic in centre mid. So,
It's 4-4 now.
yeah, so I'm not sure that that sticks if they play like a maybe a team down the bottom. Maybe they bring in a Miyoshi or something like that. But it's definitely worth keeping an eye on that because if he's playing in the 10 at 4-4 on a budget buster, he took his goals very well, especially the first one. Leicester, I think, well, sorry, Angus, anything on Birmingham budget buster wise? I've just mentioned Jordan James. They've got loads, to be honest.
Yeah, and I think it was interesting actually that they were talking on commentary. They mentioned it a couple of times about how Jordan James's preference in general is to play a bit deeper, but Rooney really fancies him in that 10 role. I do think that might actually stick because Rooney does want him in there. So I think it could be something like you say that does stick, but remains to be seen. Still like Dembele. I actually like Bakuna as well. I think he was quite involved. You have to put up with the fact that any game he might get booked.
He might get booked or score a screamer. That's
Yeah.
Bakuna for you.
But I do like him in general. I think he's a good player. Miyoshi, I think that there was a, you could see something when he came on. I think they're probably at their best when it's Miyoshi on the right and Dembele on the left. But yeah, I feel that that was the main thing from them really was James and Dembele, I think.
So with Leicester, Angus, they have Ndidi, who's entitled to Budget Buster.
Yeah.
I did consider him this week. I know he didn't. Did he get any bonus this week or anything? No. So I'm
No.
glad I didn't. He didn't do anything, did he, Angus?
No, I think it was one key pass and one tackle in the game.
Yeah, so I know for me, I'm planning on playing follow the leader with Leicester. I'm going to bring a couple of them in. I've got Dewsbury Hall. I'm probably going to bring in Mavadidi, and then I think I'm going to try and decide on a defender. That's probably between Pereira or Vestergaard. I don't think there's much difference apart from the price, so I could go Vestergaard in that. I know you have maybe a different idea for Leicester. You're a bit more puntier, I think.
Yeah, so I mentioned him, I think, when I did the Leicester feature, like the stats
Yeah.
that had popped early on when he got into the lineup, and I thought he was really good in this game, was Fatawu. It helped sort of obviously the way they were able to hit Birmingham on the counter for a couple of those goals, but I thought he was really good. It was also quite interesting. They flashed up at one point that the most tackles in the game had been made by Mavididi and Fatawu, which you wouldn't necessarily think of, but I think it's indicative of the way they sort of look to press and everything as well. But I really like him. I would like, just to see what Maresca says. We're not going to sort of get that real clarity, but obviously because he did play the whole game before I made that sort of move. But I have sort of debated doing the Dewsbury Hall, Mavididi, Fatawu triple midfield, follow the leader. I would have loved a bit more clarity on the striker situation, and we might get it depending on Iheanacho's condition, because Dakar was so poor in the game. I know he gives them elements, but I think it wasn't quite clicking for him in that one. Obviously, he'd had the previous game where I think he got a couple of goals, but that one it wasn't as good. And Didi, there were times when he was getting forward, but he just wasn't really doing anything. The defenders, like you say, I don't think there's a great deal to them, so I think it might well be worth just sort of that saving. The one thing I would worry about for those looking at Leicester defenders is, because I was reading something the other day, James Justin will be rotated with games in quick succession. Maresca has done it basically every time they've had games in quick succession this season. It's normally the middle game, if they play sort of three games in a week, it's normally the middle game Justin misses. But I think in this case, they're about to play, I think it's three games in a week. The middle game, I want to say, is it Ipswich?
Might be
Boxing
they
Day?
play
I want to
yeah, I
say
think it
that's
might be Ipswich.
Ipswich.
But we thought that earlier on in the season. I know it was Norwich were doing well, and he rotated like Dewsbury Hall in that
Yeah.
game. So I'm not sure that will drastically matter. My guess is they'll probably bring in Choudhury, maybe. That's what they've been doing, isn't it?
Potentially, I know the last time they did it, they brought Cody in for him, because of the way it sort of
Yeah.
they can just sort of sit in the three there. But yeah, so I think it's more just Justin specifically. I'd be slightly concerned about with this quick succession of games, where we know that at some point in a quick succession of games, Justin will be rotated. Vestergaard, Fass, Pereira. If you're really sort of like stretched or whatever, there's an argument to go with Hermansson. He is more money, but I think he's still the highest scoring goalkeeper. But yeah, so I don't think there's a great deal of difference defensively. So yeah, it may well be just looking at
He
the
is the
cheapest
highest.
one.
He is the highest, Hermansson.
Yeah.
He's scored one more point over Palmer from West Brom.
Yeah. I knew him and Palmer have been close for a while, so I didn't want to sort of just didn't want to commit to it. But yeah, so I think that there's a number of options through there, but it's just sort of defensively in particular. I think
Yeah.
there's not a great deal of difference, it doesn't feel like, at this point.
Yeah, like I said, that might lean me towards Vestergaard. You've got his aerial threat from set pieces where you might get a goal or something.
Yeah, you also know, generally speaking, he's probably going to get booked, but given that it's not really impacting bonus anyway, there's only so much
Yeah,
it
that's true.
matters. But yeah, I was just really impressed with particularly the way they're able to sort of counter-attack. I think, Dewsbury Hall doesn't need sort of explaining to people. I thought he was so good in that game.
Well, I've said he's the best player in the league all season, Angus.
And Mavididi, we questioned him a little bit in terms of his end product earlier in the season, but just the way, I mean, not even criticizing Ivu the defender, he was just having such fits with Mavididi because he was doing so well, and it showed. I'd said to you, it shows the value of a winger, particularly someone who's a right footer on the left hand side, who's willing to go down the line as well, because it just means the
Yeah.
defender can never sort of settle on which way they're going to go. And
It's
so
one of my pet peeves when you have a winger and they just keep cutting in. Like, I know you might be weaker on your, say, like your left foot, but at least go down occasionally just
yeah.
so the defender don't know you're always cutting in.
Yeah, exactly. Just to put that in the defender's mind. And so I think, yeah, he's playing really well at the moment. I think those are the two main ones. And then if you're looking for a Leicester triple up, it's then sort of whether you go with the defender, whether you go with the extra midfielder, whether people have already gone with Ndidi, they might look to keep him for a little bit because a little bit longer. If the striker situation becomes a bit clearer.
That could be a crazy punt
Yeah.
if you get in
Yeah,
there over
like for
70
example,
minutes.
if you know Iheanacho's fit but Vardy isn't, for example, then that sort of thing could obviously go well. So that's the main that's the four sort of games we were looking to really cover. Anything else you want to mention from the other games?
Drastic. Obviously, a massive game between QPR and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yeah.
That's a proper 6-pointer, and Sheffield Wednesday won it, well, literally right at the death.
Yeah.
Weren't great for budget buster wise, especially defenders. I had Cannon, 5 points. You had Cook and Cannon,
Yeah.
but
For Mayweather.
Famous Luton Academy.
He got bonus as well. Got two bonus.
Wait, that's a great pun, Angus.
I couldn't believe it, and he's 4.0 everything, and like, but he's got two bonus in the game, like, yeah, I think I mean, he's one that will probably stay with me now just because he's 4.0, easy hold,
And
Musaba
also,
again.
yeah. Also in Gaffer, it feels like a three at the back system this season anyway. So whether you play 3-5-2 or 3-4-3, it's you don't really need four defenders unless you
Yeah.
play part of the bus.
Yeah. But even then, someone like Famewo with the right week, you throw him in on Park the Bus anyway.
But they throughout the season, they've not been the worst defensively team
No,
anyway,
no,
Sheffield
no. They've
Wednesday.
been fine defensively. Like, they've been sort of middle of the road in terms of their defensive numbers basically all season. So it's not the worst. And yeah, Musaba, and then I think Kadamata is now in the game, as cheap forward. He might be
5 million.
one, depending on the week, in terms of the budget buster sort of punts.
It's 5 million, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think he does keep popping up with goals.
He looks, sometimes you get some youngsters who come in and they don't physically look
Yeah.
ready. He looks physically like he can handle himself
Yeah.
in the championship. Are you old enough to remember his dad? I take
Yeah,
it is
just about, yeah.
Danny Cadwell. Well, he had a similar impact, obviously, in the
Yeah.
Premier League. He came on the scene.
But yeah, so I think, people are obviously going to be looking, I think particularly with the QPR defenders, to probably be moving off them relatively quickly. I don't think it's desperate, but I totally get it, particularly as people look to get sort of those premium players back. Like you say, I think for me was he's perfectly fine to hold through. Willock didn't start. I
It
wouldn't
was
be
three
too
games in a
concerned
week.
about that. Chair obviously like doesn't get an assisting gaff for that, but it's his ball in that becomes the own goal. But yeah, not
Obviously,
great
at
for QPR. Big result for Sheffield Wednesday, I think though.
Obviously, with chair is AFCON coming up.
Yeah. Yes, I mean that'll be relevant with the number of these players. I mean, we're talking about Leicester, Famewu,
Navadidi.
not Famewu, sorry, Fatawu could well go with Garner, although he hasn't been in a squad for a little while, so that's touch and go. Mavadidi could go with Democratic Republic of Congo. I haven't seen it confirmed, but I know that he could. And then Iheanacho and Didi as well, so
Nigeria.
that could make a significant difference. But yeah, with Chair, you would assume, I know he wasn't in the last Morocco squad, you would assume he goes. If he doesn't, then obviously pile it.
Yeah.
Well, you can get him now anyway. You still got a few games before they would leave anyway. So if you're wanting him, or if you've got him, that's not a problem yet. I wanted to mention just possibly my favourite highlight from the weekend, which was the indirect free kick in this Swansea Middlesbrough game. Like you never see it. You almost never see it. You probably get like maybe one a season. Like just in the Football League, you maybe get like one a season. People were talking about, like, I saw a few people saying, oh yeah, he's barely touched it to him. Well, all he has to do is touch it. It doesn't matter how far it moves. Like, they seem to do this comment about how far it had moved or whatever. The thing I didn't understand, given the position, was it was the near post defend, like the near post defenders charged out, but in such a way that they left the gap for him to get it in at the near post. It was like, how have you managed that? But yeah,
Whenever I think of an indirect free kick, it's always the Sheringham Shearer one for England.
it's just, yeah, it made my day seeing an indirect free kick, particularly just seeing the indirect free kick, because you get to see that, just that scene of all the defenders lined up on the goal
Forget sin pins, just say each team gets one every match and you
yeah.
can play it anytime you want.
Yeah, exactly. But no, I greatly enjoyed that. Just trying to think, have you got anything else?
Shall we talk about Schumacher to Stoke?
Guess so. I don't have a lot to say at this point. I think it's a good hire for Stoke.
Mean, I don't know. It's
I think it's a good
Stoke
hi
have
I
a
think it's a
lot
good
of.
hire. Whether it goes well, I don't know, because it's
Yeah.
Stoke and we've seen hires that we thought were good before not pan out. I think it's a good hire. Whether it works, I don't
It's the recruit. It's got the recruitment's got to sort itself out. It's too scattergun at the minute.
Yeah, and so I think if they can sort of, simplify that a little bit, focus it a bit more. It has the potential to go well, but as I say, we've seen that before.
What I don't understand is this. There seems to be like some from some fans that Stoke don't give managers a long time. I actually think they do. They do give their managers a
Arguably, they've
long
been
time.
too patient with some of them. I mean, think back
Yeah.
to Michael O'Neill. How long were we trying to sack Michael O'Neill for?
Yeah. Even with Nathan Jones, how bad was that start
Yeah.
in that season as well? So I actually think they do. They give him too much time, but it's just not worked out. For Jamie, I hope it does work out, mate.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
Like I
you'd be
say,
playing
I
Port
actually
Vale.
like the I actually like the hire. I think it's a, they've done a
Yeah, I do
decent
as
job
well.
there. Whether it works, remains to be seen. But yeah, not
Think
much,
that's it,
not many
Andy.
other thoughts on that at the moment. Oh, I also just wanted to talk. I thought it was really funny that Adam Armstrong finally blanked, and the player who came on for him got two returns, including one almost immediately in Sekou Mara. But yeah, I think it also showed with Mara coming on and sort of returning. Oh, that was it. I knew there was something from that game I wanted to talk about. The Alcaraz penalty.
Oh.
So for anyone who was watching Soccer Saturday, when they cut to Mark McAdam when he was watching the penalty, and the almost disbelief when he said he's missed it, going for the Panenka and missing the target, just, I mean, he apologized when he scored the fourth goal as well. He apologized to the fans. It's like, at least you've won and everything. Like after that, but wow. Wow.
We used to have well, you'll know Danny Hilton for Luton, and when he used to Panenka near enough all his penalties to the point where obviously the goalie knew And obviously one game you missed it, the goalie basically just caught it. But yeah, I don't know how you're brave enough to do that.
No,
But yeah.
and it was the fact I think he missed wide and high, which is quite impressive on a Panenka. But yeah, I don't think he'll be taking many penalties going forward.
You just tell him not to Panenka it.
Yeah, I think he might have dropped himself down the pecking order slightly though. But yeah. Oh, and in terms of talking about sort of like, you know, highlights and everything, I thought I'd just as a final one, the Scott Twine free kick. We know what he can do with set pieces, but you know, still
Tiny
always
score.
enjoyable when a good direct free kick goal is always fun to watch. But yeah, I think that's everything that I had from the other games. So we've just got the questions to go, unless there's anything else you wanted to add.
No, I think we've talked a lot enough, Angus.
Yeah, definitely. And I could have talked for longer about my game week, and I didn't. So,
No.
but yeah. So we've been going for just over an hour. So we'll try and get through these relatively quickly. I think some of them are quite straightforward. Chris Hermitage. Well, the first question is, who finished game week rank one this week? Yep, that was me. Thanks for some of the kind words I had from people. I feel like I've earned it this season. But Chris also asks, if Dieng is injured, who is the best keeper replacement? So obviously Dieng did go off late in the Borough game. I haven't seen an update on his condition. But if he is injured, who would you suggest going with?
Looks so leery.
I think
Decent
so at this
option, I think.
point. I think he's probably the best answer. I mean, you know, you look at the next four in terms of the quality of the attacks they play. They play Hull, Watford, Birmingham, and Millwall. Not necessarily that they're all decent attacks, but at the same time, it's not anything that would sort of scare you off a goalkeeper.
Yeah.
So I think he's probably a good shout there. Like I say, the other one for me, maybe depending on your exact situation, is Hermanson, but that would be more if you're looking for something defensively with Leicester. But you know, I don't think you're looking for too much otherwise. Maybe the Plymouth keeper, depending on sort of the Cooper situation. But yeah, particularly after the game he's had, O'Leary feels like the obvious answer. FPL Frog is having a pre-match bus parade before a game in December a bit premature. Also, will Dan have his own personal open-top bus parade if Luton stay up and Ipswich don't go up? I'm not going near the first question. I've read it out, but yeah, Dan, open top bus parade if Luton stay up and Ipswich don't go up.
I'll say if Luton stay up, I'm not that. It
Yeah.
seems to be this narrative that I don't want Ipswich to go up. I'm really not that bothered. I've made a prediction, I've got it drastically wrong, and I've been reminded this week constantly through my mentions. But like, what makes me laugh is the amount of replies that think I care.
Yeah.
I don't really care, like if they go up or not. Obviously, I'd rather they didn't go up because it'd make my prediction look a little bit better, but I'm not really not that bothered. I've actually enjoyed watching
Yeah.
Ipswich this year.
Yeah, I mean we've made enough sort of terrible
You've made so many
predictions that
predictions.
it's sort of like we can't sort of get caught up in all the ones that we're wrong on.
There's never the good one. Like I said to you, I think I've predicted what the last three or four playoff winners when it's got down
Yeah.
to the playoffs, but no one's mentions that. It's all the rubbish ones they get,
Yeah.
and if they go up, the amount of people who's bookmarked that,
Yeah.
I'm just
You
gonna turn my
might have to
phone
log
off
off
for a
Twitter
week.
for a week.
Yeah.
Our friend Luke Gaffer Irons has said, are you back in the running for the win, Angus? No.
See, I think. I think
think Luke's
Luke is
very
going to
much
win
in
it
the
this
running
year.
for the win, which you know, I still think it'd be funny if he doesn't win again, particularly the position he's in. But no, he's in a very good
Imagine
position.
if he just got another top 10 finish.
Yeah. Just forever top 10 finish without winning.
Yeah.
But no, I sort of, you know, I can get back more to, you know, in terms of the question, I can get back more towards what my aims were, which really were top 25. That sort of, you know, a more realistic proposition for me, which is part of what makes me so happy about this game week.
What was the highest position you finished, Angus? Season one.
I think because I went for it, I finished just outside. I finished outside the top 10 because I sort of went to finish as high as possible.
So I finished 26th in the first season.
Yeah, I forget exactly where it was. I can look it up now briefly. Where's it gone? 15th. And I went for, I think, top five. I could have finished top 10, but
Yeah.
I went for the top five finish and ended up finishing 15th. But yeah. If I could top that, obviously amazing. If I could, but like, top 25 was my aim, and that being plausible again feels quite nice. FPL Trini Nick said, which boost is more valuable if you had to choose between Budget Buster and Jeepers Keepers? And saying, since your answer is Budget Buster, what are the best possible weeks remaining within this period to deploy it?
It's going to get tricky because there's so many games over a short period of time. You run the risk of rotation, so you probably got to leave it, what, 27 to 30,
Yeah,
or
27,
maybe even less.
28, 30. Obviously, 29, I wouldn't. As good as it looks, don't get fooled by how good 29 looks for a boost, because obviously that's the FA Cup fourth round weekend. But obviously, you know, 27, 28, 30, that's where the fixtures start being spaced again. And so I do think, particularly for Budget Buster, that's probably where you're looking, particularly with the upside. You want to make sure got the best opportunity. So playing it in the period where there's really condensed fixtures isn't really sort of the ideal situation there. AD Torres said, are Stoke going after Schumacher so they can drag Plymouth back down the table with them if the appointment doesn't work out again? I think that's quite a mean question, really. Also might be true, but no, I think it's one of those we've said. I think it does sort of make sense. It's just, you know, I suppose taking anything away from your competitors is always an added bonus.
I'm not sure it's gonna cause Plymouth that much of a problem. I think the
No, I
structure
mean,
of the club is so good
yeah.
that I think they'll be fine, to be honest.
Yeah. FPL Commander said all the boosts I played seem to have been under had underwhelming results this season, including a goal fest round without a goal. God, I remember that one. I had one and one. Got this team that just had a disappointing Budget Buster score of 138 with a minus 16, with no boosts left. Should I just roll and expect to plummet down from an overall rank of 79? So he's got Dieng in goal, Powell, Huggins, Kessler, Hayden, Cannon and Davis are his defenders, Somerville, Toufan, Dewsbury Hall, Azaz and Pritchard are his midfielders, and Delap, Ida and Armstrong are his forwards. Hladke is the backup goalie, which obviously might be relevant depending on Dieng's injury. It's worth noting the League Cup game tonight, he wasn't in the squad. I haven't seen an update on his injury, but I did notice he wasn't even on the bench. With this, I would say a notable lack of, well, there's only one Leeds player, there's only one Leicester player, there's only one Southampton player. Not saying obviously you need to make dramatic moves, but I'd probably be looking at that at this point.
Yeah, also only one Ipswich.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another good point.
It's not terrible though. Like, I can't believe I'm saying, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this. Admida has Huddersfield.
Yeah, at home.
Yeah. I don't know. I think I'd be like maybe a minus four just to
Yeah.
start getting players back in, just to protect your rank, I think.
Yeah, I think it's that stage where I know that rolling feels like, in theory, sort of a decent move, but I think with you look at Leicester, they have Rotherham at home. It's the best game you can have for the best team in the league. Like, I'd be looking at something like that. I mean, Leeds Ipswich, we would expect to have goals. I think the first game between them had what, seven goals?
Yeah.
I'd possibly be looking at something in that game, for example. So I do think there's that. That's probably where I'd be looking first and foremost. Niall Fairbrother, O'Hare, Willock, or Chair? Which one is worth the punt?
So, O'Hare for me.
Yeah, I don't love a couple of the fixtures coming up for QPR either, so I'd probably be looking at O'Hare. I think didn't he just have his rest at the weekend, which we knew would come,
Yeah,
that we knew he'd have a game
yeah.
out of the side, so
He also like might have one game over Christmas he won't play. Obviously, he's been out a long time. He's not going to play every game, but.
but yeah, he looks very good, and so yeah, I think I'd be looking at him. FPL Klim has said, "Hi guys, which boost would you say is better to use, Jeepers Keepers or Midfield Dynamos?" I think in a single, it's probably Midfield Dynamos.
Especially this year, I think,
Yeah,
with the
like,
midfield option.
I mean, I know I just had a game where O'Leary had nine saves. Obviously, if you get something like that, you're laughing. But like, I think it's harder to get that real upside on a. In a single game week, it's turning out sort of as we see more people playing Jeepers Keepers, it is a little bit tougher. So,
I think what if you work out, you might get 30 more points on Jeepers Keepers, probably. I think we worked that roughly out, was it?
so I think I'd probably go midfield Dynamos, particularly the way some of these players
Yeah.
are scoring in the midfield areas. You could go really big on that. It's probably a little bit tougher in a single game week to do that on Jeepers Keepers.
Yeah.
FPL Ronnie has asked, best goalkeepers for Jeepers Keepers. Also, do you see any particular week to target for that particular boost? Thanks, gents. Keep up the great work. So, yeah, it's tough to say with keepers. I tend to look at, sort of the teams that are giving up a lot of shots, because I think that's more relevant in general. Because I think sometimes you look at teams that are having lots of shots, but if they come up with a team that's good at not giving up shots, then that's not necessarily going to work out. So I think, we're always going to say with Jeepers Keepers, Victor Jansen.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
What I would say is because it's so easy to plan for Jeepers Keepers, I'm really gonna just leave it until the last few weeks. You don't even have to plan for it. Even if you, I've got Johansson, and I've got Dieng, but say like I might just use one free transfer to get maybe a goalie. I think will work really well. But yeah, I don't think there's any rush to use Jeepers Keepers. And like I said, if there is a double, it's like a no-brainer
Yeah,
to just.
because it would be small. Any double that will happen now will be a small double, as in any double that happens in this set.
It's only gonna be weather, isn't it? That'll
Yeah,
cancel it now.
so that's the thing. Any double that happens is going to be small because of weather. It's probably going to be Rotherham involved, if anyone. So there is that to it as well. But yeah, so I think, some of these teams, Plymouth, tend to give away more shots. So I think, whether it's Cooper or Hazard at that point, Blackburn or another one with Wolstead.
I think Birmingham
Yeah.
are starting to as well. So Ruddy might be a decent.
and Rushworth. Swansea are another
Rushworth.
one. So yeah, so I think that's a few of them. Also Begovic. I think Begovic
Yeah,
is a
cheap
decent
enough.
option on it. But yeah, and then I think it just depends, particularly with the keepers you go with, how it then lines up. But I wouldn't necessarily be rushing to it. But I think, it's then just, okay, I want these keepers. When is a good week for it, sort of thing. Alexander Chow, when is the ne their next best time to use Budget Buster? As we said, so that 27, 28, 30, I think is when you're going to be looking at for it.
Maybe this week,
Yes,
if
if you're
it's
set up for it, particularly if you're remotely close, like we see people taking big hits into it, but doing very well. Saw people sort of in some of the highest scorers in the game were taking -8s, -12s. So I think that's still viable. But this week is the last week for a while that you're going to have sort of a full week or basically a full week for players before the game. So that's true. That's the other option. Brian Mzobe has asked, what's the perfect game week to play follow the leader? I've already used my midfield dynamos and got a decent 115 points, and my future plan is to bring in Walker Peters, Rowe, Azaz, and probably Rutter. So he's got three Leicester, he's got two Plymouth, and with Azaz, that would be three. I mean, particularly if you're then bringing in something like Norwich or, Southampton, surely you're looking at playing it this week.
Yeah,
Because
he's got two
he's got
Ipswich.
Pereira, Dewsbury Hall and Mavadidi. He's got Hazard, obviously that depends on whether he's going to play,
Yeah.
and Whittaker, and if he brings in Azaz. He's got the two Ipswich and Davis and Chaplin. You could add a third there. You could add to the lead. You could add to Adam Armstrong. It looks like you're not far away from playing it this week, to be honest.
Yeah. I think I'd only want to take a -8 out max though.
I think I wouldn't want to take more than a -8. But, for example, when you're already on the three Leicester, two Plymouth, add Azaz to that, that's already six. And then you work it out from there. I think, it looks quite good for this week, actually.
Yeah.
Jaskaran and Singh has also asked which other game week looks good for Budget Buster. I think we've covered that. And the last question is to Nonstop FPL, who said, back on the Rowe train now. I probably won't. Mixed run coming up, but
Yeah.
I think particularly if people are looking for certain things or still need to free up a little bit of budget, if they're looking, sort of Armstrong, Rutter, Somerville, Dewsbury Hall, Mavadidi, all of them, you might need to free up a little bit of budget. I think Rowe is sort of back on the table, obviously,
Yeah.
for people. Upcoming run, like I say, is mixed, but yeah, I think it's perfectly fine.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So that's everything. Thank you all for listening to that. We've obviously gone through quite a lot, and it was sort of still related to the Budget Buster, but hopefully we've covered a lot about these teams in general. I'm not sure how the pods are going to fit in over the Christmas period. I can say that there will be times over the Christmas period where there won't be injury news because a lot of the
Yeah.
managers won't be doing pressers, so I'm not sort of going to be scrambling around on like Christmas Day to get you injury news. I can say that now. Anyone who hasn't done a presser on Boxing Day, there won't be any team news because I can't imagine anyone, whether it's reporters or managers, is turning up to a presser on Christmas Day. So we'll see how that shakes out, but we'll work out sort of what we're going to do pod wise over that period. Because it is sort of quite condensed, and obviously it's also Christmas and New Year's for us as well. So,
Well, not also it's just not ideal. I think the way the fixtures are full, because obviously a lot of them play on the 23rd, so we probably record on the 24th. Well, that's Christmas Eve. That's like it's not ideal. So I don't know. We'll try and get one or two out.
We'll see where we can fit them in, but it might be sort of, taking the opportunity where as and when we can, to even if it's just a short pod or something. But we'll sort of let you guys know once we know what we're going to be doing. But yeah, apart from that, it's just left for me to say thank you for listening and goodbye.
Goodbye.